Welcome to the Garden America Show, the country's most listened to gardening program. This is your chance to join us as we talk about gardening, horticulture, landscaping, in fact, anything that has to do with the world of gardening. The phone lines are open right now at 1-855-424-9825. That's 1-855-424-9825 for your questions and comments. Or John at gardenamerica.com. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can also post your questions and comments right there on our page during the broadcast. Now, here's Brian Main, John Bagnasco, and Tiger Palafox on the Garden America Radio and Media Network.
And a good Saturday morning. It is 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, another edition of Garden America. Glad to have you along. I'm Brian Main, John Bagnasco, Tiger Palafox. We're not going to tell you who the pretty lady is, though, until a few minutes from right now that you're seeing on Facebook Live. If you are watching us on Facebook Live, those in San Diego tuned in on AM 1240, and for many people, streaming live on Biz Talk Radio. John is here. Tiger's here. I'm here. John, you live in probably the coldest part of San Diego, one of the coldest, and we've had some pretty low temperatures into the 30s.
So cold.
So how was
30s? Really? Have you been at 30 up by your house?
It was. Oh, we've had a whole week in the 30s at night.
Goodness gracious, that's freezing.
It was 37 driving to work the other day, and I'm only up the road probably 8 miles. So, and that's pretty close to the coast.
Yeah, and I'm much further to the North Pole than you are, closer.
You are, and I'm going to go home today and see if there's any damage, and who is surviving, who's doing well.
You know what has surprised me? This is what you asked me if I had any frost damage to any of my plants.
Right.
Or if I had lost anything. And what I'm using right now is a gauge to how cold it's been, because this morning I told you the whole roof of my house was white, and it took me 15 minutes to thaw out my car so that I could come down here to the station. But the tomato plants are still alive.
But those are the grafted.
Well, they are grafted, and that
does help.
Makes them a little tougher. But,
you
know, it's still, you know, for tomatoes, this is going on the third year for them.
So, I've had frost in my windshield. I remember driving to work on Thursday, and I was hearing this like crinkling, crackling noise, and it was ice melting and flying off my car. Now, I know those of you in many parts of the country, you're like, yeah, so. This is headline news here in San Diego.
I remember when I lived in Michigan that you would get up in the morning and you wouldn't be sure if your car would start because the battery would be frozen.
Right, right.
You know, you'd have to park it in the garage at night because if you left it out overnight, it just wouldn't start.
What about the water pipes freezing?
Yeah, that was another problem.
Yeah, I went to school in Flagstaff, Arizona, and very cold, and there were many mornings when couldn't take a shower.
That's why they never had irrigation in those areas, because the pipes would freeze. You know, also rains during the summer where it doesn't rain here.
Sure.
But the main reason was pipes freezing during the winter. So, you know, you mentioned Pretty Lady when we started the show, and there's a rose called Pretty Lady.
I didn't know you had a rose named after you.
There's also a rose called Lovely Lady, so I'm not sure
which one
applies
which
here.
Which one it is. Well, I'm sure either one of the two. So we'll get into that.
I've been digging up roses. It seems like there's no end to the digging. You know, because for those who don't listen all the time, I'm moving, supposedly.
And you're moving 1,000 roses?
About 1,000, right? And most of them I've had to dig up.
Yeah. Don't look so surprised. There's more coming. At least.
Well, in addition to those 1,000, I have 100 in France that haven't been shipped yet, and 500 in Bonzel that are being held until I get moved, and then another 100 out in the desert in Cathedral City.
You're like the El Chapo of the gardening world, aren't you?
My daughter says I'm a rose hoarder, but there's a reason for it. You know, we're trying to,
of course, save a lot of these roses.
Preserve the genetics of roses that are in danger of disappearing.
Right.
Try to working with the Save the Roses Foundation, trying to keep them somewhere.
Tiger, how was your week?
Well, before I say anything, I'm going to say we will stage an intervention if John becomes a rose hoarder, because we'll start seeing is dead roses underneath some of the other roses, just piling up on them, and then that's when we'll step in and
get
some help for you, John.
We've got your back, John.
You know, I'm a lot older than you, Tiger, and I look at you as a young Jedi. And I have to train you in it because this rose responsibility may fall to you.
Oh, no. I better get a bigger yard then.
Yeah, like a bigger boat? I'm going to need a bigger yard.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's happening at the nursery now?
Everything. You know, I mean,
we're getting ready.
I would like to say that, you know, we still have a little bit of time, but spring is right around the corner now.
Don't
for
let
us.
The weather fool you just yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is still February, and we understand it. You know, for San Diego and Southern California, these are our coldest months still. But I mean, for us, at the end of February, that changes, and then March becomes spring pretty much. So, yeah, we've got a lot going on. We've got plants coming in every week, and vegetables coming in, and, you know, just lots of fun stuff going on.
I remember back in January, I think we had a few people talking about planting peppers and tomatoes. And
not yet.
And there was zero chance if you planted, you know, peppers and cucumbers, squash back then that they would survive.
Right.
Yet you could go into a lot of local stores and buy those plants. It just makes no sense.
So back to you for just a second, Tiger. Anything new you guys are selling this year? Any new trend? Anything people want that's maybe hasn't been so popular in the past?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily a new trend. You know, we have these cycles that go through.
Sure.
And I see a popularity in the annuals and perennials again. So, you know, for years and years, they kind of, you know, with drought and economy, I think
right.
we switched to vegetables and the herbs and that kind of, you know, plant selection. And the annuals and perennials kind of fell off. But I feel I'm seeing a resurgence of annuals and perennials, new ones being introduced. People get exciting to plant them. So, you know, where before people would come in and buy three or four color packs to kind of add
right.
some color to their garden. Now they're buying flats and flats of color and incorporating that into their borders and beds and things like that. So,
and now's the time when you should. I mean, March is a couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. And I'm sure things are going to – it's going to be – you know what? It's going to be so beautiful this spring here with all the rain. My gosh, the flower fields, everything is going to be just – how much – I wonder what the total's been since we started the rain. Any idea?
8 inches, right, for some areas. I mean, but the high rain areas, like where John's at, you're probably up to 12 inches or so.
Well, for the season, we're around 18 inches.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Up in Fallbrook. At least, yeah. It's just nonstop.
And just to give people perspective, the annual rainfall for San Diego County, which is, you know, all of these communities incorporated into one, is only 10 inches.
Yeah.
So if we're already almost
18.
Double what our average is, and we still have, what do we go until, May?
Do we have a reprieve from the rain for a while? I need to know if I can wash my car or not.
Oh, yeah, the next 10 days, no rain, and no cold nights. Lenora on Facebook mentions that it was 30 degrees at her house last night. So it has been cold, but I think even up by me, the temperature is going to be in the 40s without any problem.
And that's warm for you. 40s is good.
Yeah, 40s is not too bad.
So there you go. There you go. What?
Did I tell you that I can't remember when I made this little trip on my around my property, but I think it was last Sunday, so I would not have told you guys yet. But I told you at the bottom of my property was a ravine, and we always wondered if there was ever any water in it. And, you know, for most of the year and most of the rainy season, you know, nothing down there. Now there's a nice little river running through it.
Nice.
Got a little creek down there moving.
Yeah, yeah. And then we walked around the property, and because there's the state has a, or the county has a little park-type preserve over there. And I was looking at some of the wildflowers that have already started, and I have never seen, and I probably should have, but I've never seen the California peony. Which is a native peony to Southern California.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked.
You know, it's kind of nice before the house is built and you move in that you're seeing everything that kind of goes on in and around your property, so you'll have an idea of what to expect. Like, oh, now there's water down there, so I guess I can expect that.
Or if you want to turn your house 360 degrees because of a different view you appreciate more than what you first thought of.
Which is a great idea with John's new house. It's this huge Lazy Susan. Best way to describe it. It goes under the foundation, and he can turn his house in any direction he wants to.
Yeah, we went up to Seattle and, you know, ate in that restaurant.
Inspired you.
And we were inspired, right.
There's a house in La Mesa like that on top of Mount Helix.
That spins. Really?
You can see it from the 8 freeway. It's this big circular house, and at night it actually has lights that are on it, kind of they're probably like LED strips,
uh-huh.
right?
And it does, the house it, actual spins, actually spins.
Now, can they generate their own electricity?
I think you would get sick
if you put sails on the house and you were spinning it. You might be able.
So
to do
it
that.
Isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay, so we do have a break coming up here. When we return, we'll do John's quote of the week, and then we'll let you in on who's sitting to the right of Tiger, to my left, as we get things going here on this Saturday morning. Thank you so much for joining us at 855-424-9825. Want to give us a call? You can also email us, john@gardenamerica.com. The audio on Facebook should be a bit better right now. You can also obviously pose your questions, ask your questions, comments on Facebook Live. That's probably the best way. As we continue, Brian Main, John Begnasker, Tiger Palafox, it is your Saturday morning, 16 after the hour. We're going to step aside, take a break, coming right back. Do stay with us.
685.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? No worries. Catch all the episodes on demand at biztalkradio.com.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825 or john@gardenamerica.com.
It's going to be a good show today, as always. I love it when radio shows say, we got a great show planned for you today. Nobody ever says, well, we're going to do our best. It might be mediocre. We'll do our best to give you a good show. Yeah, John's got the quote of the week, and then we're going to dive into what we're going to be talking about today, John.
It's like that commercial that's on TV now. Yeah, we've got a show planned for you today. It's going to be good enough.
Good enough. Yeah. Well, that's like the doctor, you see, that comes in there. And it says, well, you got your credentials back. He goes, yeah, well, not official yet, but
right.
What do we got in here?
I picked this quote for you, Brian, one, because it's short.
I don't mind your long quotes. I just
And two, because you like fairy tales. And this was actually from a little short story by Hans Christian Andersen called The Butterfly, which I read. You know, if you read a lot of those stories the way they were originally written, there's a lot of dark in there.
Yeah, right.
The butterfly was kind of interesting. We don't have time to talk about it now, but maybe someday. But anyway, this quote is from that story, and it said, "Just living is not enough. One must have sunshine, freedom, and a little flower."
That's good. I like that. Everyone needs a little flower, right?
And speaking of little flowers, I'm going to turn this over to Tiger.
Are you calling me a little flower now?
No, that was a good segue, John.
Yeah.
Person next to you.
That was was good, John. I like that. Was a good handoff to you, Tiger.
So this morning we're excited because we have Raquel Cohen in studio with us, and Raquel Cohen is the author of a new book that goes by the name of Infinite Succulent, and
that's never ending.
Never, and that's the concept behind, I think, her designs and what she works with, because besides the plants, there's also energy with what she's planting them in,
sure,
design elements and things like that. And, you know, we see a lot of these nowadays with, you know, everybody out there with the Pinterest and the Instagram. But, you know, her designs and her products have more than just the aesthetic appeal to it. Raquel, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be here.
And tell us a little bit about you first and your background.
Well, it's interesting. I do not come to plant art from a plant background. My background's actually in environmental education, and I got my master's in marine biodiversity and conservation. So I have
marine biodiversity.
Yes, over at Scripps.
Can we talk about killer whales next?
I would love to, actually.
Okay.
Cetaceans are my thing,
okay,
besides succulents.
Beautiful.
So. So my background's in environmental education, marine focus, and I've always loved succulents ever since I moved to California. I just was always really compelled by them, thought they were so cool, thought they were so pretty.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it wasn't until after the birth of my second child when I started having some issues with postpartum depression and anxiety, and I was given the advice to get creative, you know, just do something artistic and creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I started actually playing with my plants. That's what I called it. I'd go outside and I'd start making little art pieces. I really started with terrariums, actually. And I started making these art pieces, and I found a lot of healing in that, I have to say. I found a chance to quiet my mind. So it kind of became a meditative experience for me. And a lot of the anxiety kind of melted away as I had more chances to work with my plants. And then I just started gifting them to people because I had way too many.
So do you think it was a combination of the fact that you took your mind off what was troubling you and you sort of diverted yourself to something that was of great interest? And then the two worked in connection with each other to get rid of the things you were experiencing.
I think so. I mean, for me, I've always been very drawn to nature. I've known my whole life that I want to work in natural environments and I want to teach people about nature. That's always been really important to me, is about teaching people about our connection with nature in the hopes that, first of all, we feel more connected and also so that we understand that our actions on a daily basis really have an impact. And so that when we take when we go through our day, that's just always in back of mind. So even things as simple as recycling, mm-hmm. saving water, things like that.
I think we have an obligation. At least I feel I have an obligation to take care of plants or anything that lives. I've told these guys more than once, I've gone to our dumpster and there's people that have thrown perfectly good plants away. Either they didn't know how to take care of them, didn't know what to do, and I take them out and they're living, they're surviving.
I love that story because I actually have a photo of on Instagram. That's me holding on to this giant like yucca cutting, and I got it out of someone's dumpster.
Oh my goodness!
No, absolutely,
like, I love it.
And that's my dumpster diving right there.
Little dumpster survival story.
Now, when you obviously kind of have this artistic background, and you know the succulents kind of come along with it, because aside from succulents being beautiful and lots of colors and textures and everything else, but your art kind of gravitates towards succulents because they're long lasting. And
exactly.
And you had said they're very versatile in the concept of a little bit of moss, do this, do that, and it's there. Where with flowers, a little bit more difficult. You need soil, you need to water it more and things. And from what I'm looking at with your pieces is that it's almost like you took what it would be like in nature, and then now you've created it here for a gift or for something to add to your home. So was that a little bit about your idea as well, your concept?
Yeah, for me, it's all about bringing nature into all of your places and spaces. So I'm always drawn to planting into more natural elements, driftwood pieces, rocks, crystals. And then I like to make the terrariums because to me, they feel like mini habitats.
Mm.
And they're also great for indoor use. And we can talk a little bit how to care for them, because a lot of what I plant into don't have natural draining holes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can become an issue with succulents.
Yeah, that was going to be a question.
Yeah.
Like the one you have here, you know, that looks nice. I'll put it on the table and then just sit back and watch it and hope that it doesn't die.
Yeah, and I can talk about how to care for them. But
tell us a little bit about the terrarium itself.
Like,
yeah.
So the terrarium, when I plant terrariums, I always start with the drainage layer. And I have materials that I love to use to create drainage. And for me, that is a combination of horticulture charcoal, which I'm sure you all are familiar with, and some activated pumice, which is what you see right here. Which is kind of like a volcanic stone. And both of those things act to absorb extra water. The charcoal has the added benefit of actually taking in toxins, which can often happen when you have people who tend to overwater.
Yep.
And in fact, that's why activated charcoal has become so popular for beauty reasons these days, like face masks and even toothpaste that people are using now. It's because charcoal has this ability to absorb toxins out of its surroundings. So I use that as the drainage material for the terrariums. And then I actually find that I don't need to add too much soil as long as I keep a good amount of soil around the root ball of the plant.
Mm.
So typically when I plant the terrariums, I'm using rooted succulents, although every now and then I will add some clippings in there as well, but I tend to go more for the rooted ones and just make sure they have a good amount of soil around their root balls. And then I just fill in with the pumice and with more kind of a heavier grit sand works really well. Although if I'm going for a more foresty or whimsical terrarium, I'll tend to do a little bit more soil and then a lot of moss.
And how often do you think you water one of those?
The terrariums I water typically about once a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I would think that the most important thing is the drainage. Otherwise, those roots are going to rot right away.
Right.
Especially with succulents.
Right. And so as long as you're providing a good drainage layer, and I was actually reading...
That just means we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, so you can finish what you're going to say.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. Come right back as we continue our show this morning with our very special guest. You want to be called Raquel?
Thank you.
Okay, you're approaching 30 minutes after the hour. John Bagnasco, Brian Main, Tiger Palafox, along with Raquel. We're talking succulents. So many different ways to present and create such beautiful things. We'll continue that. Don't forget your questions on Facebook or john@gardenamerica.com.
Watch some of your favorite shows on Biz TV. Check to see if you get Biz TV by going to biztv.com. And now, back to Biz Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825 or john@gardenamerica.com.
And we are right back at 35 minutes after the hour. Thank you so much for joining us on Facebook, AM 1240, or Biz Talk, however you choose to listen to us. But if you can, get in front of your computer, log on to Facebook Live so you can actually see what is happening with our in-studio guest, Raquel. And there's so many nice things to look at. We're talking succulents, obviously, if you're looking and watching on Facebook.
Yeah, and as Brian mentioned, we're talking with Raquel Cohen with Infinite Succulents. And before we went to break, she was just describing on how the terrarium that she's got here in studio and what she kind of can do only needed to be watered about once a month. We were talking about how it needs good drainage and, you know, how the plants do. And, Raquel, you were going to mention that this is an open terrarium,
yes,
right? So unlike something that people might think of as far as a closed terrarium.
With humidity and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This
so,
is different.
So this isn't – it's not quite a true terrarium, because the true terrarium would have a top and it would be its own closed ecosystem, and you would really not have to water it at all.
You'd have frogs and lizards and all those other things.
But with succulents, they do not like that humidity. They do need to make sure that their soil does go dry in between waterings. And so you want to make sure, if you're going to plant a succulent terrarium, you want to make sure it does have an open top.
And people need to remember that of all the plants, succulents retain water anyway.
Yes,
so the danger of overwatering is always there.
Yes.
Well, I think a great example of that is, you know, she's got this wonderful gold bracelet that she's put live succulents on. And
yeah, let's,
you know,
let's get a shot of that. I noticed that right off the bat.
You know, basically, you know, when you look at that, the water is in the plant, and that's all it needs. I mean, there's no real root system. There's no real soil that goes along with it. It's just a matter of you know, the plant itself. Now, you know, tell us a little bit about doing that style planting.
Right. And so it's interesting, because that's kind of what my book that is coming out this Tuesday is all about. It's about how succulents, because of their ability to retain water and because of their will to survive, that you can really create art with them in infinite and really inspiring ways. So for most of the crafts in this book, it requires smaller succulents, often succulent clippings. And there's two different methods. There's the planted method, where we kind of talked about a little bit, where you create drainage and you actually plant your succulents. And then there's also the glued to moss method, where, I mean, it comes down to this. You glue moss to a surface, you glue some succulent clippings to the moss, and you're done. It's really that easy.
And we have a question from someone. How long will something like that last?
That's a very, very good question. And it can depend on the method that you use. So if it's a planted method, it'll last a lot longer. So this little mini terrarium that you see right here were succulent clippings. That will last. They grow pretty slow at that size. So that'll last probably 6 months to 8 months before I'll replant it. But something like the bracelet has a shelf life of about 4 months. But what's really awesome about succulents is that once you see roots starting to come out, or once you see the plants starting to kind of grow out of their piece, you can actually remove them and replant them.
And then plant it.
And I love that. And that's also where the name of my business kind of came from, is this infinite succulent. I find that succulents have this infinite desire to live, to propagate, to reproduce themselves. And there's just how creative you can get with them because of their characteristics.
As opposed to most other plants.
Right.
What are you going to do? You can't do that.
Well, John, you love roses, right? So one of the things I love to do with roses is I actually love to dry them. I always say roses, my house is where roses go to dry. So I get roses and I just hang them upside down, and I love to dry them out to use them for accessories, for headbands, because I actually think they look really beautiful in that state as well, in that kind of dried out state. And I think that when you use them next to a live succulent, they both play off each other in really beautiful ways.
Hmm.
So that's another way.
I have to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, do you have your family mummified and placed around the home also?
Oh, no. I hope I didn't insult you with that.
No, I'm just teasing.
No, not at all.
No.
Is this the same principle like when a girl goes to the prom and then she takes the rose or flower, whatever, dries it up,
yes,
puts it in a book?
Yes. And actually, there are people out there who their whole business is taking women's bouquets,
mm-hmm, preserving
them so that people can keep them.
That's very cool.
And that's actually really interesting because I got married back in March 2010. So we're coming up on our anniversary.
Nine years.
And we used all succulents for our wedding 9 years ago. So that was even before the kind of popularity craze,
right,
that we're currently still living through, thankfully.
Did people raise their eyebrows? Or
no, people liked it. And what's fun is that I actually took my bouquet and I planted it, and it's still alive on my front porch. And one of our friends gathered all the men's boutonnieres and planted it for us. And so those are two big shrubs in our backyard
now. Very cool.
And I even have friends who took home some of the smaller pieces from the wedding, and they tell me they're still alive. So
the memory continues.
Yes. My husband always jokes, as long as those plants are still going, we're good.
So your marriage depends on if your plants can live.
Right. And some other things too, but you know.
Of course.
So, you know, beyond the actual succulents themselves we talked about, some of the attributes that you talked about is the rocks, the stones that they're planted with. Mm-hmm. And some of them that you talk about have actual kind of meaning as well. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've always been drawn to crystals and to really cool stones. But it wasn't until the last 2 years or so where I started studying some of the energetic meanings behind the crystals.
Properties?
Yeah, the properties of them. That's a good way to put it. And, you know, it's one of those things where some people might be like, oh, well, that seems really out there, right? Like, okay, those crystals, okay, whatever, you know, kind of like California. But I have to say, it really all comes down to energy, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we hear a lot about in physics, and even Nikola Tesla, one of his quotes is, you know, really everything comes down to energy and vibration. And so crystals have – everything gives off energy. We give off energy. Plants give off energy.
I can see your aura right now.
Oh, how does it look?
Nice and bright today.
Thank you very much. So the crystals themselves have a very stable energy. It's called the crystal lattice. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But crystals themselves have a very stable energy, and humans sometimes get drawn into that because of its stability. And it's interesting, flowers and plants have energies as well, which is probably part of the reason why we're so drawn to them and why they provide so much joy to us, is that we look at them, they vibrate at a certain level, and it helps us bring our vibration back to a certain level as well. And that's why I found that when I started being able to get creative with the succulents, with plants, with these natural elements, I found a lot of healing for my own issues dealing with anxiety, mm-hmm, apathy, fear, all those things that are stressors.
Let me ask you this, because I do see two or three succulents on these crystals. Have you noticed that those particular succulents live longer or do better because there's crystals underneath them?
I find that I actually use crystals in a lot of my plantings, even larger arrangements. I add crystals in there, and I do think the plants really like them. I have an aloe vera planted into a large amethyst specimen in my bedroom, and it's been in there for 2 years.
Two years.
Which often have to be replanted. If with proper care, they could last a year or more before you'd want to replant them, because they grow pretty slow. But the one I have in my bedroom is really happy. It's growing great. It's not in the brightest lit area of my room, so sometimes I'll bring it over to the windowsill time to time, but it's doing so well.
Well, I mean, you know, and you touched on one idea in that, you know, beyond the healing powers of the crystals and stuff, okay, one of the trends, you know, Brian, you asked about trends before, that I see currently now is containers. Mm-hmm. You know, for years and years, we had terracotta pots, cobalt blue, maybe, you know, an orange or a red one would come out there in a ceramic glaze every once in a while. And that was like, whoa, getting crazy now. But now you go into the container department of a garden center and there's designs. What's that Mexican style ceramic pot? Talavera.
Yeah.
You know, where the bright colors and the figurines and all of that kind of stuff. But even, you know, the designs, the colors, all of that stuff. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, to put one of these succulents that she has here on display in front of us, if she was to just set it in a terracotta pot, it's pretty.
But
you
it
know?
Would take away – the terracotta would overshadow
it. Yeah, like it just wouldn't be the same, right? Where now it's set into this bluish – and can, do you know the name of that bluish one?
Yeah, that's a sodalite.
Sodalite.
Mm-hmm. It's associated with the throat chakra.
Okay, well, even
which is
you know,
perfect for you guys.
Yeah, we need a sodalite in here. Somehow that'll make our show better.
Yes.
But
and candles.
But just the blue in the colors and the textures of it make it way better than just a normal pot.
We're going to take a break. Questions, comments, Facebook Live, as a couple of people have done so far. You can also email us at john@gardenamerica.com. Pick up the phone, 855-424-9825. As we continue with Raquel, Tiger Palafox, John Begnasco, I'm Brian Main. We're going to take a break. Thank you so much for watching and tuning in to Garden America. Coming right back.
From Main Street to Wall Street, we have the business content you need. So sit back, take notes, and tell your friends about Biz Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825 or john@gardenamerica.com.
Okay, we are back. It is, 51 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining us, watching us on Facebook, Biz Talk Radio, here in San Diego, hour number one on AM 1240. And a lot of great response on Facebook. And I guess we're going to talk about where to get the crystals. Where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, so again, we have Raquel Cohen with Infinite Succulent here in studio with us. And we were just talking about some of the designs that she's created, what inspired her to create some of these designs. But now we want to talk about, you know, how do people do this? Where do people go for this information? Where do people go to get these items? And where do people go to get your book? So first, there's one question. It was, where do you get the crystals from? So let's talk about that first.
Yeah, great question. I actually source my crystals from, not local, but they're just north of Los Angeles. So it's here in California, and it's called Rock Paradise. And they source most of their crystals from Brazil.
So from Brazil to Rock Paradise to you.
Right. But what I like about this company in particular, it's a small company, and they know where they're getting their crystals from. Mm-hmm. And they work with the mines directly so that they know that it's done in an ethical and sustainable way, both for the people who work in the mines as well as for the mining activity as well. Because often crystals are found as byproducts of other mining activities. So sometimes crystals can be sourced in ways that might be a bit more detrimental. So I like knowing where I'm getting my crystals from.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, anything mined, I mean, they talk about, you know, precious stones, gold and diamonds and all of those kinds of things. I mean, you know, yeah, there's a lot of unethical ways that people mine those items because of the value. And I'm sure crystals, you know, are part of that process. But yeah, if you can kind of trace where they're from and make sure that the miners are treated nicely as well, you know, back to what is that called? Fair trade?
Yeah.
You know, the fair trade concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rock Paradise is where you, but I'm sure, you know, locally, wherever you are, there's probably places that people can go. But as you said, if you do your research and find places that actually can trace back where they came from, you know, you're getting a, you know, ethically minded mind, which a stone, which is probably part of the energy that you kind of have, because I mean, if you kind of feel, you know, that this product has came from someplace good, you can feel good about it as well. Right?
Definitely. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do, I've actually been studying a bit more about the chakra system, which is, you know, how energy flows through our own bodies. And what's interesting about the crystals is they can actually align with different chakra centers within our body. So when I'm creating pieces for people, if I get an order in, or if I'm just creating pieces for some of the stores I consign out of, I am very intentional with both the plants that I'm choosing as well as the energy that I'm kind of putting forth as I create the pieces as well. So I really hope that that comes through when people see the pieces, when people purchase the pieces. And these I actually can ship all across the United States.
Okay,
I've got it down.
Anybody watching or listening, do we have her link on the Facebook?
Not yet. I'll put it up there.
Okay, so people that want to order or get in touch or get more information. So let me ask you this. What about the energy in this room right now? Is it all positive? Are we good people?
Oh, for sure. I'm not reading any auras yet or anything like that. But no, it's got a great feel in here. And I love that you have some living plants. I see you doing some water propagation on in here. And that always helps.
It's tough to do in here, but we do our best.
The hardest plant for me to take care of is this nice ficus behind me to the left.
It just needs a little dusting.
Exactly.
So if somebody wanted to buy one of your designs, they can go to your website, correct?
Yes, infinitesucculent.com.
And then that's succulent with no S, correct?
Yes, singular. And I have a boutique there. I also have an Etsy store as well. And then if you're local, I do consign out of a number of stores. There is Sojourn San Diego in Bankers Hill. There is Four Moon Spa in Leucadia, Landmark Plant Company.
And something really exciting, not even out yet, correct?
Correct.
Is it next week?
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. You have your book coming out.
Yes. I'm so excited. It's hard to even express the feelings that I have about this. Yeah. So
I'm an author. I wrote a book.
Well, I definitely have a little bit of that, like, what's the word? Like, kind of like,
are you apprehensive?
No, when you feel like you're just like a fake. Amazon says I'm an author, so it must be true, right?
Yeah.
I'm so excited because it's interesting because the process of creating this book, it was 11 months from having the book proposal accepted to having the actual book in my hands.
Is that pretty fast, John, with the books that you've written? I know every experience is different, but that's pretty quick, right?
It's about average.
11 months?
About average.
Okay, about a year. So about a year.
Yeah.
It's like having a kid, though. You know?
Yeah.
And once the book is out, you feel the same way.
Yeah.
You forget about the pain you went through to produce the book, just like having a child.
Yeah.
And you're kind of beaming, really, with pride afterwards, right?
Yeah. And of course, me being me, I'm already like, okay, next book.
I usually have the opposite reaction. It's usually like, I'll never do that again.
I enjoyed it. I was it's interesting because writing a book was something that was on my dream list, but it wasn't something that was in my, near future plan in any way. But I had been contacted by an editor, just got a random email. Hey, love your Instagram feed. Have you ever thought about writing a book? And then my whole world exploded because I was just like, yes, oh my goodness. So it was just so exciting. And I decided to go with succulent crafts that were in miniature form. Couple of reasons behind that. One, I wanted to kind of differentiate myself from some of the books that are already out there on the market. Beautiful, beautiful succulent books.
Good idea.
Yeah. I also find that there's a lot of people who just like miniature things, like little things that are really mini. And I also wanted the book to feel very accessible to people. So some of the crafts in the book, for example, this little miniature succulent driftwood piece, which is actually a magnet. So this lives
for the refrigerator, right?
Yeah, for the fridge. It lives in my fridge at home. This is something that you could just do by going for a nature walk, just finding a cool piece of, a branch or even sometimes a nice piece of mulch out there, grabbing some succulent clippings from your garden or if you ask a neighbor, maybe a couple of clippings from their garden.
Digging the Dudleyas out of the wild.
No, don't do that. Do not do that.
Oh, all right. Glad you said so.
I did hear that story, by the way, up in Monterey. A little bit of glue, preserved moss. I always like to include things like feathers or crystals or dried flowers as well. And that's all it takes, 5-minute craft that you can do with your kids, and it'll last about 4 months. So I really wanted this to be something that could be really accessible for people and let them also feel inspired and confident to clip their plants, to actually get in there and start clipping those plants. Because what's really interesting about it is, and what's fun is, the more you clip, the more plants you've got.
All right. Well, Raquel, thank you very much for joining us this weekend. We look forward to it. We'll load up the links for people to get more information onto our website or onto our Facebook feed. And
thank you so much.
Infinite Succulent.
Thank you.
Wave bye-bye. Hey, we got news coming up here on many of these affiliates, and we are back with hour number two at 6 minutes after. So do stay with us, Facebook or wherever you're listening to us. Thank you, Raquel. It is Garden America, hour two coming up 6 minutes after. Stay with us.